Friends, please pray with me. Reveal to us your holy word, O God, living and active in our world by the power of your Holy Spirit. Let your holy word pierce our hearts and open our minds, dividing good from evil, truth from falsehood, life from death. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray, and all God's people said, amen and amen. I would like to encourage you to open your Bibles and listen, for these are the very words of God coming from Psalm 119, verses 105 through 112. But before we go there, listen to these words as well. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him. And without him, not one thing came into being. But what came into being in him was life. And the life was the light of the world. The light shines into the darkness, but the darkness did not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the one and only from the Father, full of grace and truth. Listen, for these are the very words of God. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my free will offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. Brothers, sisters, and friends, these are the very words of God. Thanks be to God. So today, we're going to take a little trip. And in fact, Glenda got us all free tickets to go to the Holy Land. All right, so thank you, Glenda. All right. All expenses paid, too. Thank you. That's why you're working 79 hours this week. All right. Friends, I want us to imagine something. Right here you have before you is a synagogue and the Holy Land. Now that synagogue in the Holy Land is actually stripped bare. But because of writings that we have, we know what were in these synagogues. And so I want you to imagine with me what these synagogues were like, because it is important for us to know so that we know what the Holy Word of God is. And so, as you would enter into this synagogue, you would actually enter into the synagogue from your right here, and outside of the synagogue would be what was called a mikvah, right outside. It's a mikvah. Has anybody heard of a mikvah? A mikvah, I'll tell you exactly what that is. That. It was a baptismal font. That's what a mikvah was. And it would be held outside of the synagogue. And that would, and so as you were entering into the synagogue, you would be able to take that water and you would sprinkle it on yourself or pour it on yourself. It was a cleansing experience. Often we think of baptism only being done in the rivers, fully dunked. But what we don't understand is that they had what was called these mikvahs all throughout Israel, in every single synagogue outside of them. And it represented the same thing that they were doing in the Jordan River when they baptized Jesus. A mikvah. And then you would enter into the synagogue itself. And there would be a few things, few items that you would see. One of the first things that you would see is that to your left, when you are facing what was called the front of the synagogue, was a Torah closet. And that Torah closet held the Holy Scriptures. They had scrolls. And then, in the very center of the synagogue, because in a synagogue was not set up like it is here today, where everybody's facing forward. A synagogue actually had rows that people would sit on, and then in the very center would be what was called the Bema. The Bema. Now you'd think, wouldn't the Bema be the baptismal font or that? No. What it means in Hebrew is a platform. And what they would do is they would take out those scrolls from the Torah closet, and at that point, there would be celebration and singing and even dancing and jumping, because what they were about to hear is not just any word, but the holy word of God. And when God speaks, it's meant to bring joy to us. It's meant to bring so much more than just words on a page. Does it also bring about repentance and other things as well? Yes. But there's this certain excitement, this certain joy when the holy word of God is read. And so the scrolls were brought out, and people would come by and they would kiss the scrolls or kiss their hand and touch the scroll as the scrolls were being brought out. And the holy word of God was read on this platform called the mikvah, because it was not just any word that was being read, the word of God. And so it's elevated. And so you have the mikvah. The scroll was opened, and the holy word of God was read. But it wasn't just read in just in the dark. No, if you were to look up, there would be an opening in the roof where light would pour down. And the reason for that is because the holy word of God was the light of the world. Where else have we heard that? The light of our lives. Meant to shine on us and change us and radiate us. And the holy word of God was read. I show you this because, my friends, what we proclaim every single Sunday, the holy word of God, is not just some words on a page, but they are meant to be living in our lives. They're meant to change us. They're meant to form us. They're meant so that when we hear those words, when we are blessed by God in the multiple ways that He has us to be blessed, then we exit out of this place filled by God to be a blessing to the nations. We are blessed to be a blessing. Every single Sunday, my friends, you hear these words, and maybe they have been new to you when I got here. Maybe not, but anytime that the word of God is proclaimed, I say this: listen friends, for these are the very words of God. Not many people know this, but when the canon of Holy Scripture was finally put into place by the church, when they chose, when God enlightened God's people to know what words were meant to be in this book, a letter went out with it. A letter by the early church. And we still have that letter. That letter that was brought about by that council. And that council said when they would send out the Holy Scriptures or write a scroll and then give it to a church, a letter would go along with it. And in that letter, it said exactly this: brothers, listen, for these are the very words of God. Do we accept them in our lives as so? Do these words bring about fruit in our lives? Do they help us to know that we are blessed to be a blessing? Do they make us missional? Do they help us to long for the lost? Do they help us long for those to be saved? Do they help us to know how much that we have been blessed and saved by God, and then we look at those who are around us and we want that for other people? Or do they just shine upon us? And then we put a basket over that light. Friends, we are called by God to not just know the words of God, but to be doers of the word. And so how do we take that today? With what we have heard from the Holy Scriptures today, our psalmist talks about how he takes God's statutes and lives them out. That the psalmist doesn't just meditate on the words of God daily, but then takes it into the world. I know that we live in Pella, and there's actually a good amount of people that go to church, attend church. Maybe we don't know anybody that knows. I mean, maybe we don't know anybody that doesn't go to church. But did you know that there's about 60% of the people in Pella that say they don't attend church regularly? You know people. And if you don't know people, hopefully we can get to know people so that we can proclaim. Because I don't know about you, but I want to see that light that shines on the holy word of God to not only shine in my life, but have that fire grow and help someone else be lit on fire, and another person be lit on fire, and another person be lit on fire for the glory of God, so that his kingdom, so that his church spreads in all the earth. And we can do this practically. By giving to the Legacy Home, by giving us, it's evaporated milk, is that what it's called? I think I got it wrong the first time. I'll get it right this time. We can give by doing that. But in all honesty, I think there needs to be more. There needs to be more. It was once said, and usually this is attributed to Augustine, that we preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Do you know that that is a lie? Augustine never said that. We have no writings that actually have Augustine saying that. It's attributed to him, but we don't actually know that he actually said that. And I agree, we should preach the gospel at all times, but it is necessary that we use words. The Lord God is the Word of God. It is meant to be spoken and preached, not just from a pastor or from you, but from all of us. May your word, O Lord, be proclaimed throughout the world. My hope is that by the devotionals we have in our bulletins, by the preaching and teaching we have here, by hopefully classes that we'll be able to have in the near future, we may be prepared and we will pray for with boldness so that we would be able to enter in this world and bring about restoration for all. May it be so in my life and in your life. And in your life. And in your life. And in your life. In all of our lives. For this is the call of God upon all of us. May it be so. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Let's pray together. Holy and righteous and truth-loving God, the God who wants your justice and your righteousness to fall upon this world, we ask, O God, that we would be a blessing to be a blessing, that we would not only know your holy word, but proclaim your holy word. We ask, O Lord, that you, O Lord, would loosen our lips, that you, O Lord, would loosen our tongues, that you, O Lord, would give us boldness to proclaim your holy word to the world, especially to our neighbors. Lord God, thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you, O Lord, for the greatest gift that we can always receive, which is yourself. What greater message can there be to proclaim? Amen.